Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Flash Shelton has squatted the squatters.
Nice.
He is the founder of the United Handyman Association, and he got into a squatting situation in his mother's house, and he out-squatted the squatters.
Nice.
Hey, Flash.
Good morning.
Morning, Flash.
So what happened?
My dad passed away, so we moved my mom in with me while we were trying to sell her house. And then I
can you talk into the mouthpiece, please?
I actually am.
Yeah, way better. So the house was empty, no furniture, and was it on the market?
The house was completely empty, and mentioning that is kind of where I went wrong. I called local law enforcement and told them that the house was vacant. When they arrived on scene, they called me and they said, basically, I thought you said that the house was vacant. I said yes, and they said, well, we do see a broken back door, but there's furniture in the house, so there's nothing we can do.
Wow, they moved in.
Wait, yeah. So when somebody moves furniture into a vacant house, they now have rights?
Yeah, basically, you know, it kind of blew me away. I wasn't expecting that answer. They would not even make entrance and talk to them. They wouldn't do anything at that point. They said that I had a situation and it was a civil matter and out of their jurisdiction.
So is that what state are you in?
I'm in California.
Okay. I'm wondering if that's true in every state, but yeah. It sounds like it is.
Yeah.
So if you break into a house with someone's furniture in it, that's breaking.
And entering, yeah.
And entering.
Right.
If you break into a house with nothing in it.
And move your stuff in.
And move your stuff in.
Right.
Now you're basically a tenant and have tenant rights.
That's correct.
Damn.
I'm dealing with a situation right now for someone in New York. And I looked up New York law. And it says that you must catch a squatter within 30 days. If they're in your house for 30 days, they automatically become a legal tenant.
Wow, like a sovereign state. Can't touch me. 31 days.
So you have to go through the whole eviction process with them.
Exactly.
Damn. It's a weird laws.
So I definitely recommend cameras and alarm and be able to, you know, basically say when they actually enter and do something about it right away, no matter what state you're in.
Okay. So you have to, tell me about how you out-squatted the squatters in your mom's house.
Over the next weekend, I looked up the squatter rights, squatter laws. I knew nothing about squatters at the time, so I was just dissecting the laws and figuring out, and it's kind of what I do anyway, for everything, but dissected the laws and figured out, I was kind of looking at, well, you know, what gave them rights, when did they actually have rights, and what I determined is, in most cases, it's once civil action starts, they actually become squatters of record. And a judge dictates, you know, what a homeowner needs to do to comply. So I figured that if they could take a house that way, if I could somehow switch places with them, I would become the squatter myself. Therefore, I would take on those squatter rights. And they would have to be told, if they called law enforcement, to take me to civil court because it would be a civil case.
That is awesome.
So you put their stuff in the backyard, move your stuff in?
Right. What do you do with their stuff?
I rent to IKEA.
How does that work?
Well, I mean, if somebody doesn't live there and they leave their stuff, then it's just stuff. And, you know, I figured if they leave, then it's abandoned stuff. So
okay, so everyone in that house has to leave.
Right.
If someone is in the house, let's just say there's eight of them, and there's always someone there, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, then I just move in with them.
Nice.
So if they, if you know, so in this situation, just to preemptively be prepared, I had a lease drawn up. That, you know, in a lot of states, homeowners can't do this, so I had to have a lease drawn up in my name, notarized, and just in, you know, a lot of times squatters have a fake lease, so I figured that I needed to be prepared in case they had one, to kind of even the playing field when I get there. That never came into play because they didn't have a lease. But and in my situation there, the squatters left. They, you know, I scoped it out at 4 a.m. I was there like, you know, around 8:30 in the morning. They pulled out of the driveway, you know, probably about six to eight people, three cars.
Wow.
And I, you know, including a prison guard, you know, so...
one of the squatters was a prison guard.
One of the squatters was a prison guard. In my video on Outside the Box with Flash on YouTube, I do show when I enter, I do show a prison guard uniform.
Nice.
Scary.
Yep.
Because you can handle myself too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if they didn't leave, I was going to just go in and enter and show a lease and just say, hey, I'm moving in. I know that the law would have prohibited me from just grabbing them by the neck and throw them out in the driveway. But
also, the prison guard probably would have prevented you from that as well.
That whole I know how to stop you thing.
right.
Wow. So, okay, so you get into, man, you thought this one out. You got your fake lease, or you have a real lease. You got it notarized from witness. You wait for them to leave. You go in, and then they come back.
Yeah, so I set up cameras. The very first thing I do is I set up cameras all around. And as I was installing the last camera on the driveway, they pull up in the driveway, and I start filming, or start, you know, videoing on my phone, and I just basically just I stay calm. I stay. There was no reason to argue with them because it wouldn't have you know, ended well if it became an argument. So I just I was nice, and I just told them this is how it is. I said, you know, the back door is secure, house is locked, security cameras, alarm. You know, the if you try to get back in the house, you'll be breaking and entering on camera, and I will prosecute. But I'm going to give you 24 hours to vacate, and you can have your furniture. And I had previously spoken with a couple gentlemen across the street, young guys, big guys, and I asked them if they needed any furniture, and they said, yeah. And I said, well, at 5 p.m., if you don't see a bunch of stuff on the driveway, come over. Help me get it out, and I will, and you can have anything you want.
Nice.
So I told her that, and you know, she decided, made some calls and decided that it was in their best interest to just take my deal and go. You know, if they, again, if they could have, she could have called, you know, law enforcement, but, it's a civil matter on both sides. Now, it's a different story if I'm the homeowner, however, so that's the thing that people need to keep in mind is that I wasn't the homeowner in this situation.
So you have to hire someone to do this.
Yes.
To be your tenant.
Right.
Yeah, so this is something that I am doing for people, and in some cases I just do Zoom consultations and kind of help them get through it.
Holy
and sometimes
crap.
They just need some advice. On the bigger picture, I'm trying to help everyone by changing the laws. So I do have a petition out there to make squatting criminal. And that isn't, you know, some people think that it will deal with, you know, mess with tenant rights, but this is, squatters are not tenants and they never had any kind of legal occupancy.
It's weird how you look away and then you look back and all of a sudden all these people are protected.
Yep. It's amazing.
Exactly.
It's weird.
Trespassing.
It's weird. Yeah. Like, when did they pass these laws to protect people who do all the wrong things?
While we were asleep, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This all started, I was at Jelly Roll's concert.
Okay.
Great crowd. and outside chatting up the tribe.
Right.
Jelly roll.
You made jelly roll.
Oh, all right. It was amazing.
She has bandages completely
right.
wrapped
like
around
a mummy?
Both arms.
Like a mummy.
Yes.
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 What happened to your arms?
I burnt it with butter, so butter doesn't make everything better.
How did you burn your arms with butter?
I put the butter in the microwave, and it caught on fire, and I pulled the dish out with my arms.
Okay.
And now I got blisters.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
And I got blisters on my fingers.
So basically, she turned both arms to home fried bread.
Oh.
Remember the butter top bread?
That's right.
Slowly.
Yeah.
Picturing a pan just full of butter, then.
Oh, yeah, like napalm.
Caught on fire.
Yeah, and then it go like that, squirts, and like lands on you. Forget about it.
Oh, it's done. Like what they used to do in the medieval time. Hello.
They
pour hot oil over the castle wall to burn people climbing up the ladder.
This is going to be the next margarine commercial.
Right.
That's right.
And they say put butter on burns? No!
Especially if the butter caused the burn.
Exactly.
Okay. We might use you as a phone subject tomorrow.
No problem.
Okay, then.
You can use cold butter afterwards.
Yeah, I think when your skin just melts off.
Yeah, just go to that burn unit.
Yeah, maybe don't put butter on it.
Good idea, yeah.
Oh, that's got to hurt. That's got to friggin' hurt.
I can't fathom the amount of pain involved.
Well, there's got to be so much pain your brain just goes,
Right, I'm out of here.
It's like, I can't comprehend this pain,
right.
But I know this is all bad now.
It makes you wish it was like summer, like winter at time, and you just jump in the snow in like a snowbank or something like that and just put your arms out.
Right.
Exactly.
John in West Haven.
It was either Foxwoods or Mohegans, and I was watching the Gallagher show. You remember Gallagher, the comedian?
Yes.
So he was taking his sledgehammer, and he was smashing food on the table that was on stage.
Right.
So they told you to put the plastic over your face as he was smashing the
food. Ponchos, yeah.
So he decided to do canned corn. So he raises the sledgehammer, and I guess I didn't get my plastic up fast enough. He hit the can of corn, and a piece of corn flew into the sixth row where I was sitting and hit me in the eye.
Nice. That's a tough shot. Did he call it first?
I got a corn in the eye.
Right. Corn hole, but a corn eye.
Yeah.
Well, you get creamed by corn. Nice.
You don't even know it's coming, so your eye doesn't close.
Did he laugh like Green Giant? Ho, ho, ho.
No, it didn't close. It was wide open. I was trying to watch the show. It's the corn in the eye.
Keep your eye on the corn.
Stefiana in Naugatuck.
One day, my husband wanted cannolis, and I said, all right, I got this. I could do it. So I made the dough to make the form for the cannolis, but I didn't have a form to put it on. So I was like, let me use an ice cream scoop. I use a metal ice cream scoop that has a liquid in it, and I put it in the air fryer, or not an air fryer, in the oil fryer. And after a couple of times, it must have gotten too hot, and it exploded when I put it in there.
Well. That was a holy cannoli.
Yeah, the whole thing. I had burns and blisters all over my face, my neck, my arm, everything.
Here's the cannoli. I made the cannoli for you. I made the cannoli. I don't have an appetite anymore. What in your face?
It's delicious.
It's really good. Yeah. It's horrible.
That's one of those you go into the emergency room and they don't ask you what's wrong.
Right.
They just
exactly.
Say, you can see by the look of their faces. It's like, eyes go wide, the jaw drops.
Why you're here?
Oh, okay. just follow me.
So I was cooking cannolis.
Right.
It's Colleen on the road.
I was making fruit salad one day and I was cutting watermelon off the rind. And the knife got me just right that it cut my thumb, and my thumb couldn't stop bleeding. To add insult to injury, I get one of my thumbs to stop bleeding and then try and cut the watermelon off the rind on the other side, and my other thumb gets cut with the knife, and it won't stop bleeding.
Here's an idea. Just use your teeth. Eat it the regular way. Don't be fancy.
Well, she's probably preparing it for other people to have it.
Oh, okay. Right? Then just take big bites, spit it back in the salad. Like that.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, pretty much. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Your thumbs are fine afterwards.
Oh, that's the worst.
You don't tell anybody.
Getting cut when you're preparing food.
Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Just when it bleeds.
You bleed into the food.
Just bleed.
Making a takeout, yep.
Just Joe in the truck.
My father was preparing a cup of tea for my mother. He turned around to put the pot back on the stove, and I reached up and grabbed the cup. Make it worse, I was wearing polyester pajamas. with a little plastic zipper.
Right.
And my mother was preparing a bath for me. She scooped me up, put me in the bath water, which immediately cooled the boiling water. And I'm 43 years old. I still have the scar of a zipper on my chest.
Wow. That's an interesting nickname, though. Hey, Zipper.
It looks like a zipper to your heart.
Right.
Wow. Oh,
it hurt.
Damn. Well, do you remember any of that?
It was at a tea bag, one of the two.
I remember it from the stories of my parents. Okay. I don't remember, you know, being in the actual moment.
Wow.
Right. When you see T, you get really nervous.
That's when you learn.
My mother says she's still mentally scarred from it, you know, seeing that happen.
She's a coffee drinker ever since.
Yeah. No, but as a kid, you just don't know any of those things.
No, you don't.
Nothing.
Nope.
It's like, you have no idea. It's like, oh, what's over here?
Right, you find out quick, though.
Oh, yeah, I learned a lesson that day, I'm sure.
Yeah.
T hot!
Hot!
T very hot!
Thank you. Kevin and Bethany.
I'm an ex-chef, and in the 80s, when I was learning to cook, I was working for a chef who was very short.
You're an ex-chef.
An ex-chef.
Retired. Okay.
Would you poison somebody?
I'm disabled.
Oh, gotcha.
Actually, I'm disabled. I broke my back. But
back
in the 80s, I was working
fine
dining.
What happened to your back?
From food?
Twice falling in kitchens over the years. Years ago, I didn't realize I'd broken it, and then it deteriorated. So
now, why wouldn't you go with that story?
Yeah,
just saying.
One, right?
This one seems like it ranks higher.
It's like a banana surprise. I slipped on a banana.
You're injured preparing food, and now you're...
Right?
Okay.
I have another one where I worked with a cluss who proceeded at the end of the night. I was counting the dinner checks, how many dinners we made. And he went to dump the pasta pot that had been on the stove for 8 hours boiling with cold, hot oil in it. And he slipped and spilt it all down my back wearing a probably had to cook
for okay, that one wins.
Now, did he call you al dente now? Or?
Over your other back.
No, he was busy on the floor being unconscious.
Right.
Wait, why was he on the floor unconscious?
When he hit his head?
No, I hit him in the head.
Gotcha.
He'd been a klutz all day. He'd already spilled Alfredo sauce on my hands earlier, boiling cream. So, you know, he was a klutz.
So he pours this hot oil down your back.
Right.
And do you hit him with a pan or your fist?
Oh, that was my fist.
Wow.
That was my fist.
Right. Fist of fury.
It was rather instantaneous, and I was rather loud.
Right.
I did a second-degree burns over my whole back and down into my butt cheeks.
Yeah, they call me Fettuccine.
Fettuccine. Hey, you want a bowl of Fettuccine?
Fettuccine Alfredo.
Wow, that hot oil rolled right down your back and down your ass crack. Did it find the hole?
Oh.
No, it did not, thank God.
Good.
Get him right in the calamari.
Yeah, you feel it starting to go down those cracks. You just clench your ass tight.
Right.
Oh, no, you don't.
Like a frog.
And no hot oil on the button.
Turn into a frog, quickly.
Needless to say, we didn't work too much longer together.
Oh, my God. I don't blame you.
Wow.
Wow.
So, the same guy screwed up with his chef, and he's supposed to be putting some cornstarch in for a sauce. He's supposed to be melting it. He has to put one baking powder in it. So when the chef put it in the sauce to thicken it, it exploded all over the chef, and that was his last day.
Damn.
He was a klutz.
He should sell cars instead.
Yeah, well, I mean, he injured everybody in sight. So.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Glad you're okay.
I get takeout from now on.
Oh, boy.
Fettuccine.
Right down the ass cheek. In the crack of the ass.
In the crack of the ass.
Oh. So I mean, like molten lava heading towards your most sensitive area.
Yeah, burning rings.
It's shocking that wasn't his last day.
Seriously.
It was still like two more strikes after
that. When he spilled the Alfredo sauce in my hand, I'd be like, you're out of here.
Heather, New Haven.
So my wife blended her finger in an immersion blender.
Oh.
Oh.
Attempting to make hummus. It was disgusting.
She made Hennessy.
Yeah, and by the way.
Was a finger food.
I walked into the kitchen and there was bloody hummus all over the kitchen cabinets. And it's amazing how much bloody hummus looks like bloody flesh.
Right.
So
I thought she destroyed her whole hand.
Right.
And we flew down to the emergency room at Yale. And the nurse, as he was cleaning her wounds out on her hand, he's like, "It's really too bad we don't have any pita chips for all this hummus."
What do you call her, frappe?
Wow. It was really disgusting.
Damn.
That is. So it was like a, it was a one of those like mincers,
like a Cuisinart.
No, it was like the, you know, the stick blenders that like you put into like a bowl.
Yeah, it looks like a little motorboat. Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was the wrong tool to use to make hummus.
And
but
she found out.
It was,
yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
Tasty. Yeah. And the button was on the side, so the thing tipped over and hit her hand, and she was trying to clean out like the chickpeas that had gotten stuck behind the blade, and it tipped over and landed on her hand, and all of a sudden, like, engaged the motor and blended her finger.
See, this way.
Oblivion.
This way you never eat healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
A cheeseburger would have done that.
That's lemon in there. So
pizza would
like,
never hurt you like that.
Pizza would never hurt a fly.
Yeah. That's true. Very
oh,
true.
Oh, my God. And that's one of those, it's a millisecond, and it's just, it's too late. It's over. There's nothing to do.
So much carnage.
Yeah. She screams like crazy. She's like, get a towel. And I just like, I'm not good with blood and things. So I just wrapped her arm in a towel, and we went to the emergency room, and they said, do you have the finger? And I said, it's all in the towel.
Right.
Oh. It's all in there.
It's in there. Right.
And some hummus.
Right. And a little bit of garlic.
And it's fresh.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Some lemon.
It's all organic.
Some salt. Pretty gross.
Wow. All right, Heather. Yep. Thank you. Mark, New Hartford.
Do you remember when you were a little kid, you had pajama bottoms and they had that open slot?
Yes.
So when you had to go to the bathroom, it was easy accessible.
The open slot in the front?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. In the front, yeah. Okay.
In the front.
Just double checking, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Great
so
plans for future,
comes
yes.
home with hot pizza. So you, you're a 10-year-old kid. You don't wait. You grab that slice.
That's right.
Yep.
And as it's coming to your mouth, that hot molten cheese pizza goes limp, comes off, right down and into the slot.
Wow. You had penis parmesan.
Oh, yeah. Wrapped right around everybody down there, and you're doing the chicken dance.
Who wants some noodles, I'm in Dane? Oh, my God.
That was an experience.
Wow. And that's the gift that keeps giving.
Yes, it does.
Wow. Every time you have to go.
Yep, always.
Okey-doke.
Always
here
blowing your pizza first.
Yeah.
Yep.
One of my last times out for pizza with my dad, it was on his birthday. We went to his favorite pizza place. And, you know, when they put the pizza out.
And you're starving.
And you're, this was not carried home.
No.
This was, it was in the oven 5 seconds ago, and now it's in front of us.
It's still bubbling.
You know, he had Alzheimer's, dementia. He had all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, but he's also hungry.
Also hungry.
Very hungry.
But just forgot, I think, the science of how a pizza works.
Yes.
He grabs a slice, picks it up, and, you know, my brain's going, it's in his mouth before I get out that, and no. The whole slice. Oh! And then he's like, sorry.
That's when you chew with just your teeth. And you're like,
it happened too fast for me to slap it out of his
mouth. I don't think it would have helped. And it was too late.
And Sharon and Guilford.
I was cooking lobster. I went to put the lobster in the 1.5 inches of boiling water. It flapped hard, which I'm used to them, but they're not, they don't want to go in that pot.
No.
So he gets me, he scratches me. I drop him on the counter, put him back in the sink. Screw you, buddy. You're getting cooked. Immediately, my arm blows up. I have to go to the doctor's the next day. Went to the doctor's again 2 days later. Ended up in the hospital. Just got out of the hospital yesterday. I have cellulitis. I have a hole in my arm 2 by 4 inches.
From a lobster.
And I just went to CV from a lobster.
Wait, did it bite you? Did it, wait.
It scratched me.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. That'll be for a knife.
Yeah, you gotta kill those things before they go in the pot.
Yep.
I know the right thing to do is stab them in the back of the neck, but that all this liquid comes out, and it's, trust me.
Hey Ruth, you're writing all this down. Write it all down. Prepare your lobster on Saturday, Ruth. Come on.
I thought that would be an interesting story.
I think Ruth was kind of happy to hear that you were injured.
I saw a fist pump with the lobster part.
Yeah.
I have to say I was rooting for the lobster, but I'm sorry. When it got to the hospital, then I felt bad. So I'm glad that you're doing that.
Why are you smiling still?
Yeah. So I just went to CVS to pick up the antibiotics. The pharmacist's like, I want to talk to you. You sure you're supposed to take this many antibiotics? I showed her my arm. She goes, oh, yes, you are.
Wow.
I mean, that's
damn.
How bad it is. Yeah.
So you're going to have crab cakes
next? That's my story.
Wow. Thank you, Sharon.
Right.
But we did still eat that lobster, I want you to know.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, you're not going to wait. No, you fought hard for that one.
At that point, you have to.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, take care, guys.
All right, thank you.
Again, a cheeseburger never would do that.
That's the tough thing about lobster.
Yeah. That's that
they're,
part.
They're, you know.
I prefer somebody else cooks it for me. Then right. I don't see the
process. I want it to just come out on the plate.
Right. I like crab better because crabs are a-holes.
And lobsters are nice people.
Lobsters are nice, but crabs, they just look nasty. They walk sideways like a drunken person, and they're always ready to start ass with you. They're like,
what do you mean they're ready?
So,
crabs and lobsters will kind of walk around. Crabs always got the things, and they're like, hey, you want to start with me? Gun! I got you!
A middle-aged Italian man on a Saturday in the Bronx.
Exactly. Hey, what are you doing? You got a problem? Yeah, they're wearing like little
what are you looking at?
They're wearing the sleeveless T-shirt with a gold chain. Hey!
What?
They got attitudes. They're crustaceans with attitudes.
They've never done anything to you.
That's why I'm like, oh, how delicious when you put them in the butter.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to
that cream sauce, a little cocktail sauce. Yeah, who's got the attitude now?
Steve. What would they have attitudes about? You just took them out of the ocean, and you're like, I'm going to eat you.
Right. I don't know. They should be willing.
Why isn't he nice about it?
You took me away from my home, my family.
Also, their eyes are effed up. Their eyes go like sideways. Like,
yeah, they can look in every direction.
They can. I'm sorry. You got to die.
Okay. Jeff and Rocky Hill.
Just what? Drop that in there.
What?
Hey, Jeff.
I was a kid, and my older brother and I were out doing our thing. We lived on a farm, but we were out looking for fruit to eat, and we were eating elderberries. He climbed up in a tree, and he wasn't throwing me down my share, so I got mad at him and threw a rock at him and hit him right in the head. And that technically wasn't the injury. It was when he got out of the tree and kicked my ass. That was the injury. That was the food injury.
It was food related.
It is food related.
It was food related.
He wasn't giving me my share.
Right.
I hit him in the head with a rock.
And he came down and kicked my ass.
He wasn't very happy. Yeah.
No.
That's awesome.
No, rock to the head is not comfortable.
Yeah, no. Folks don't think cotton to that at all, no.
You get crab eyes after that.
You do. You know, hey, you got a
rock
problem.
To the head.
You got a problem.
You're just looking in different directions. Your hands are like, eh.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,